Memorial Day is an official holiday of the United States. It was observed on May 30th till 1971. Then for federal employees, isn't that amazing? They changed it for federal employees. It was changed to the last Monday in May. It used to be called Decoration Day. I subscribe to a number of magazines and all sorts of stuff. One of the ones I subscribe to is called Reminisce. It's about where people are telling you about the way things used to be in America. And they're sending in pictures. And the one recently from Memorial Day, it showed these pictures of all the families. And what I've gathered from that article, it used to be pretty much in America. Got a little ring. It used to be pretty much in America that most people got up in the morning and they all went to graves. They all went, it wasn't till people, about noon, people actually started turning their attention back to families. They talked about how in almost every cemetery had memorial services and all sorts of things. And everyone just got up on Memorial Day, and they all went to the gravesides, or they went to some dedication. And I'm thinking, what would we be like as a nation if no stores opened, nothing happened till after lunch, and everybody had to get up tomorrow and spend the morning doing something like that? The custom of placing flowers on the graves began in 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. He said, the president of the Grand Army of the Republic declared on May 30th would be a day to decorate with flowers the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country in whatever the latest rebellion was. After World War I, the day was set aside to honor all the American wars and was custom to extend to pay homage to deceased relatives and friends that were both military and non-military. The most solemn ceremony conducted on Memorial Day is the placing of the wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington, Virginia, at the National Cemetery. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate Memorial Day, and there's going to be a lot of people that just see it as another day off, a three-day weekend. But for those that have lost someone, to those that have been in military, it's much more than a day off. And the truth about it is, even if you and I have not lost somebody, you and I ought to take a moment tomorrow and reflect on the fact that somebody died for your freedom. Men have died for this country, and that has given me the right to stand behind this pulpit and preach the gospel. We have a right because of their death. We have a right to have peace in our homes, to pursue that peace, prosperity, and happiness. Now, there's a lot of Americans that think because they're Americans, they are guaranteed these things by the government. But the truth about it is, you're just guaranteed an opportunity to pursue those things. You and I celebrate Memorial Day, and we've spoken to it, we've spoken about it, and it's almost noon already. We don't have time to get into anything else about Memorial Day. So let me take you to a passage of Scripture. You and I are to set aside one day a year, according to our country, to remember those that died. It is altogether appropriate, as Abraham Lincoln would say, it is fitting and appropriate that we have gathered here today to do so. I had to quote Abraham Lincoln this morning. But you know, as much as I love my country and I appreciate the freedoms that come, look in verse 23. You and I have been told about a perpetual memorial. Paul, speaking, says in verse 23 that he received something of the Lord. This wasn't gossip, this wasn't rumor, this is what God told me. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, I received this from the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you. He goes on to tell what happened, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, folks, we talk about veterans and we're talking about Memorial Day being about those who gave their life in war and in battle in defense of our country. May I say to you that that night that Jesus betrayed was the battle of all battles, was the war of all wars. That same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do, and note what he says, in remembrance of me. After the same manner, verse 25 also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, and this ye do as oft as ye drink it, and again, do it in remembrance of me. We don't have the Lord's Supper once a year. We can do it as often as we want. Because verse 26, look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, here's what you do. You do show a death. You are remembering a death. You are actively involved in doing something that shows there was a death. In fact, here it's called the Lord's death. Isn't it? You do show the Lord's death till he come. That almost doesn't make sense. Dead people don't come. But you and I, we have a memorial that shows death until he comes. Let me give you the four things, and I'm going to do this very quickly. The four things that Memorial Day is about. Number one, to reflect on the loss. People have died. People say, as they lost, I wish I had told him, I wish I had seen them, I wish I had kissed them one last time, and I don't know but what it's like. I never joined the military, so I don't know what it's like to stand there and to tell my wife goodbye, thinking I may or may not see her again. I don't know what it's like, never happened to me, to have one of my children to join the military with the idea that they're going to fight for a cause and a country, and they may not come back home. I cannot say I've walked in those shoes. I dare say that if I was ever put in that position, I would probably look at that child, or I'd have probably looked at my wife and say, what would I say? You know, what can you say as your potentially last words? What would you do? What would the emotions be involved in that? How easy would it be to get in your car and drive away from that moment? Don't know. But I do know that separation, as we saw in that video, that separation can weigh very heavy. There was once a battle for the souls of men. And you and I, listen, you and I know about that separation. We know what it's like to be separated and in a battle for our very existence against all odds. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. All of us have been in that position where we had no relationship. We didn't know what to say. We were out. We were in the darkness. We had no hope. We had no promise of ever coming home. Thankfully, though, you and I are to reflect on loss, which goes with Memorial Day. But you know what? You know, this lost idea, we say, well, we've experienced a lot of loss in our country. And every year I get to go to D.C. and I see the Arlington Memorial Cemetery, and nothing's more impressive than to see that well-groomed, white, different crosses just as far as you can see. All those people died. To what extent will people go? Well, you and I were lost in this battle. But thankfully, now listen to me. We have a shepherd that said this once upon a time. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders, will he not leave the 99 and go look for the one? Now listen to me. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. The Father in heaven is not willing that your loss be on the battlefields of eternity. The second thing we are to do on Memorial Day is we are to, not only are we to reflect on the loss, you and I are to remember. What is the next point? See if I got it together. Yep, we are to regard the lives. You know, I probably don't agree with everyone that died for me. There's probably a lot of people that I just don't agree philosophically with, doctrinally with. As I walk past those things, there's probably a lot of scoundrel. There's probably a lot of ornery people that have died for me. But you know, there was a cause. There was a reason. And I don't have to agree in every iota with every person. Their life, no matter what, their life added value to my life because their death has paid for what I get to enjoy. We must remember those lives. I tell you that in light of when we first started Leadership Training Institute of America, I would go to D.C. And it was 2 weeks long, and it would always be over the 4th of July. And I can remember every 4th of July, I would walk the mall, and I would go to the Vietnam Wall, and I would see that the people would put notes. If you've ever been to the Vietnam Wall, it is very serious. That's kind of the background. You can't see it very good. That's the background of it there. And the Vietnam Wall, very serious. It's a very sober place. They designed it, and they created in it a very quiet sobriety whenever you walk up to it. And I can remember going to the Vietnam Wall on July 4th, and there's always somebody's leaving notes, flowers, and as you walk down there, all these notes are all over. And I would reach down and I'd pick up one, and one would say, "I want to thank you for dying for our country." And on July 4th, it'd be full red, white, and blue flowers and notices, and people just writing appreciation for those that died and dropping them at the wall. A couple years later, we changed LTIA dates, and we moved it back off of 4th of July into June. And now, as many of you know, most of the time it falls over Father's Day. And I'm gone a lot on Father's Day. That Sunday evening, we take a tour of the mall, and we talk about our Christian heritage. And once again, I'm on Father's Day. Here I stand on Father's Day, Sunday evening, in front of the Vietnam Wall, and I'm looking at the Vietnam Wall, and I'm seeing a whole lot of different notes all over the bottom of it again. And as usual, I start to reach down, and I pick them up. But these notes are totally different than the notes I've read for the last few years. These notes read, "Dad, I wish I had known you. Dad, I talked to Grandma about you this week. Grandpa, I'm sorry we never got to talk." They're not just these big ones about, "Thank you for dying for me and for America."
These were personal. These were family. What a whole different tone these notes had. I remember standing there at the Vietnam Wall on Father's Day evening, just not knowing what to say as the sun was going down, and I'm in, right here is Lincoln Memorial, and in the reflection of the Vietnam Wall, I see the Washington Monument, and I see notes of family that were deprived of a person because they died for our liberty. Serious. Must remember and regard those lives. Whether I agreed with them in every area or not, they deserve my respect. They deserve my respect. I must always regard them in high esteem. You say, well, I don't like the Vietnam War. I don't care whether you did or not. They died with our uniform on. So I think I'm against war. Well, congratulations. You know what amazes me about this memorial? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Jesus knew when he picked up that bread and he broke it, he's going to say, this is kind of like represents my body, which is going to be what? Broken for you. This is, see this cup? See this juice? This is what? This is my blood, which is shed for you. This is going to be me in a little while. My body will be broken. It'll be manipulated. It'll be beat. It'll be pierced. It'll be slapped. It'll be spit upon. This is my body. And look at what he says he did. Verse 24, he gave thanks. Wow. So I don't like war. I don't like this whole idea. You know what? In the midst of it all, the price is high. But you and I should give thanks. In fact, then that's the next point. You say, well, that's really sad and it bothers me and all that, and I agree with you, but you and I should rejoice in the liberty. You know what we should do on Memorial Day? I think we ought to take to mourn it. I think we ought to reflect on those that died for us. I think if you know of someone, you have family, you ought to maybe go out to the grave. I think we do need a... I wish we put a moratorium on TV and everything till noon. Have our whole country focus on those that died. And then you know what I would say? Have the parades. Bring out the barbecues. You know why? Because our freedom to do, that's what they died for. The fact that we get together with families, we enjoy our liberties, that is exactly what they were fighting for. You and I should rejoice in our liberty. We ought to embrace it and live it with everything we've got. I love the idea that America is going to have some parades and people are going to have wave the flag in red, white, and blue. And I've got my flag in front of my house. I do. Red, white, and black, whatever color it is. Red, white, and blue flag up there. I'm happy to wave it. I'll scrounge around in my closet tomorrow and see if I've got a red, white, and blue polo shirt maybe and kind of, you know, put on my red socks. During World War I, there's a story that happened. It was near a few weeks before Christmas in 1917. And they were in Europe in the snowy. And that back then, the warfare was pretty trench-like. And so they had this barbed wire, rolls of barbed wire that they would put up there. And the Germans came, attacked, and there was one guy that got all tangled up in the barbed wire. And he was just all tangled up, and everyone else had gone back to their trenches, and they were still shooting at each other. But this guy was stuck in between, and he was just rolling. He's trying to get loose, and he was just the barbed wire, and this was not nice barbed wire. This was very hurtful. They said they could hear his screams of agony, and he knew he needed to be still, but it was a freezing winter night. Nobody knew what to do, and finally he just kind of settled down, and they said you could hear him kind of whimper, cry, and knowing full well that every time he moved, it was nothing but pain for him. Probably the wire was embedded in him all over. Finally, one of the Americans got up out of the trench, went over. The Americans quit shooting. I mean, you're not going to shoot one of your own when they saw what was happening. So the Americans quit shooting. And as he removed the wire from this man, he would yell in pain. And then the Germans realized what was going on. And the Germans all stopped shooting. And all you heard was this man wrestling with the wire and the yells of pain from this German man as he released him from being rolled in this barbed wire. Eventually, he got him loose, and the story goes that he put this man over his shoulder and carried him to the German trench. He handed him to him. They just all looked at him. The American turned around to leave to go back to his trenches with his comrades. And some German soldier jumped up, grabbed him, and he was expecting a fight. But instead, he tried to pin something on him, and it didn't stick. And so he just dropped it in his hand, and the American went back and got back, and everything was quiet for a little while. And then all of a sudden, somebody shot, and then somebody else shot. And before you know it, back at war. Later on, the American found out that he had been given the highest honor that was could be given to a German soldier. It was called the Iron Cross. He had been given this Iron Cross by this man. Little did he know, as he kind of story made its way through years later, and then literature books, and as someone pulled things together, come to find out that the American had saved his friend and brought him back. Heroic acts like that hardly ever make the media, the news. When they talk about the greatest generation ever, World War II people, in the big book, if you got a chance to read it, big book on the greatest generation ever, most of those people came back from World War II, and most of them said, don't want to talk about it, don't want to deal with it, I've got a family, I'm just glad I made it back. God bless America. Let's go to work. I don't want accolades, I don't want to be lifted up, I don't want special benefits, I just want to be an American again. What I fought for. Therefore, if those people died, and you and I are to rejoice in the liberty that they gave us, then you and I should do something. Are you ready? Last point. You and I should resolve to live. You should. Resolve to live. Live life to the fullest. You know, we were missionaries in Mexico. And I remember many times feeling bad about the fact that we had so much stuff. You know, compared to your average Mexican, we had a whole lot of things. And your average American, your poor Americans live better than your average American in Mexico. I used to feel bad about the fact that we Americans, and if you listen to the liberal media, they'll jump on that wagon and they'll make you feel bad about it. But you know why I have, listen to me, you know why I have a motorcycle? You know why I drive a nice truck? So, well, because you're being paid, you know, and you have all that money. It's because I live in America. Do you understand this? There's nothing superior about me. I don't have a golden thumb. There's nothing about us that exudes all this other kind of wealth and particular type of privileges. Nothing at all. I am an American. And as an American, I am living my life to the fullest that I can as an American and as a Christian American, because there were those that gave their lives for me to do it. To listen to the liberal aspect that demises that is, in my opinion, to slap the face of the liberals that died for that opportunity. You hear me? To slap the face, I said, liberals, of the veterans that died for that opportunity. You know why they died? So that you can go out and you can get a job. And if you get a job, you can work hard. And if you work hard enough, you can make good money. Well, you know why they died? So that you can go enroll in college. And if you go to college, you can get an education. And if you get an education, you can get a good job. And you can provide for your family. And if you get a good enough job and everything goes well, you could even buy a boat. How's that sound? You can buy cars. You can actually remodel your house. You can put in replacement windows. Guess what? You can get in your car and go from one side of the country to the other. And that's exactly what they would want you to do. That's why they die. I don't apologize for the life of America. I don't apologize for what has brought us, because a price was paid for all that. Don't make me feel bad about the fact that America is who she is. Say, well, people in Haiti don't have all this. People in Haiti didn't have the Americans die for them like we did. Resolve to live. See, you see verse 26? As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you shall show the Lord's death till he comes. That kind of implies that you ought to live to continue doing it. You ought to live in what? Live in the glory of remembering that Christ died for you. And you ought to live your life to the fullest. If this is, listen, everything I've said, if it's true of being American, how much more so is it true of being a Christian? And then add to that, being a Christian in America. Whoa. See, you and I know what it's like. More than the average person out there, you know what it's like to have someone die for you, to have your privileges as an American. We had some people in our church yesterday got on their motorcycles and they drove. Or you don't drive. You don't want to drive motorcycles. You ride motorcycles. And they just had a good afternoon together. Isn't that great? You know what's more than that? Someone died so they could have that liberty. But more than that, somebody died so that, look at this verse, we can show the Lord's death till he comes. Somebody died. It says death there, doesn't it? But more than being able to get on my motorcycle or get in my car and be an American is the fact that I can live in such a way that shows the death of my Lord and that he's coming back someday. What a greater privilege that is. What a greater privilege that is. It's the blood here that cleanses you and I from our sin. It is the broken body of Christ that gives you and I a hope of a better day tomorrow and a new body ourselves. You and I have all of our hope here. As much as I love America, I can appreciate those that died for me. Those that died for me in the American uniform do not give me the kind of hope that this death gives me. He took the cup. He supped. He says, you do this and you drink it in remembrance of me. Let me ask you something today as I close. This blood that Jesus shed, have you been to Jesus for his cleansing power? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily in this liberty by your Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? See, there's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There are certain things we should do today. We should reflect upon the loss. We should regard those lives that were given. We should rejoice in our liberty. But we should resolve to live. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you need to regularly reflect on the loss. The life of Christ that was died for you. You need to regard his life and how he lived as an example for you. You need to rejoice in the liberty and the freedom and the hope that is now yours. And you ought to resolve to live the greatest life you can in Jesus Christ. See, Memorial Day is not just once a year if you're a Christian. Memorial Day is how you and I live every day. This Memorial Day, as an American, remember the soldiers that died. Every day, remember your Savior that died. Let's stand, please. Every head bowed.